for us here today, if we're followers of Christ, are you a follower of Jesus today? If you're in Him, then His mission becomes our mission. John 10:10 is His mission. A mission is what we're to do on a daily basis. What's my job today? And His job and His mission was to give life and to give it more abundantly. And that's what we're to do. And not only are we to receive life, and I love that part, and I have received so much life from God, but I also have a responsibility to give life. And it's my job to give life overflowing. And how many know we're living in a hurting world and a dying world, and so many people need God and need life. And death is all around us. And we're to be a light, and we're to bring life to those situations. Well, how do we do that? Now, there are many different ways to do that, but one of the things that's been rolling around in me about giving life is found in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 in verse 20. It says this, "A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life." Everybody say death and life. "Are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Now, I want to read verse 21 from the Message translation. Do you have that? Yeah, here in the Message translation says this. "Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose." Words kill, words give life. And so every day we have a choice to make of what we're going to do with our words. And words have everything to do with giving life. Now, it talks here about your words being poison. Do you remember a place in the New Testament where it talks about our words being poison? Anybody know? James 3. Turn over there. James chapter 3. And in verse 1. Y'all here today? Y'all just lounging after the week? Glad you're here, though. Glad you came back today. James 3, verse 1 says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers." That's encouraging. "Knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. But if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, and they obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." This is so encouraging. "The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. And for every kind of beast and burden of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." It just goes on, doesn't it? Goes on and on and on. I don't know, James is having a tough day here, I guess. When he wrote this, "It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water, and fresh. So it just says a lot. It been, again, confirms what Proverbs 18 says about the power of our tongue. And here is kind of, it's talking about the negative side of the power of the tongue. And it talks about the tongue being a deadly poison. Now, is there another creature that we know about that has poison in their mouth? Snakes, that's a good one. Now, how many people here like snakes? Who's their favorite animal is a snake? Now, how about, let's take it to another level. Who likes poisonous snakes? Anybody? Come on, where are all the animal lovers? Where'd y'all go? Are you all not here today? A poisonous snake is not something that you can domesticate or tame. They're restless creatures, ready to strike at any moment. I remember, Martha lives, we live with Martha, she lives with us, and I don't know if we were all together, or we were walking up to your house, or maybe you saw it by yourself, but coming up to her house, and above her door, there was a snake on top of the door. Just kind of wrapped around the door frame. That's always fun to come home to see that. Tammy's kind of, ooh. And so there's this snake there, and so we're going to get the snake, and, you know, I've killed a lot of snakes around our house. I mean, I'm not counting, but it's at least 35. No. and I'm only killing the poisonous ones, and because the snakes are good, we have a lot of snakes around, and they're a blessing to our property. But the ones close to the house, I take out. But this particular one, and so he was right up there by the top of the door frame, and we went up near it, and it just started snapping at us. And it was just snapping at us. I mean, and you're scared. You don't want to get bit. And you know, the poisonous ones, I mean, they've got venom in their mouths. And so when they strike, they clamp on the skin or whatever they're biting. And that poison is released. The venom is released. And it goes deep into the body. So why? It can get into the bloodstream. This is great, isn't it? Great message today. And if you get bit, now no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You know, we take up serpents that they won't harm us, right? Mark 16. But for other people to get bit, nobody here, but other people that get bit. First, there's going to be pain, of course. Then redness. Then swelling. Then comes the good part. Chills, fever, weakness, nausea, breathing trouble, blurred vision, and then for some, death. That's tough, isn't it? I mean, it just gets in there, and it's a process. And for some, it can be a slow process. And that poison can kill you. Now, what about poisonous words? Words can be like venom, full of toxins, full of poison. And words can destroy, and words can hurt. You know, the old childhood saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. That's not true. Now, sticks and stones can break your bones. But words are powerful. Proverbs says it's life and death. They can kill, they can bring life. And words can be poisonous. And words can be damaging. Now, today, for me, I've been walking with Jesus for 30 years. I know about the power of words. I'm not totally where I want to be in my walk with God, but in Hebrews, it talks about having your senses trained to discern between good and evil. And so I'm better now than I was 30 years ago at words and what I say, but also what people say to me and what I allow to get into my heart. But I had 19 years before then where some words had gotten in and hurt me. Words that got in my heart that wounded me. And I think if we would all would look back, because there's a devil trying to steal, kill, and to destroy, he, and that doesn't necessarily mean they were demon-possessed people, but all of us had people in our lives, you know, used by the enemy to speak poison to us. To speak words that didn't bring life, that brought pain and suffering and hurt. And even today, I mean, we have to deal with those words. Even today, we can hear sometimes those words over and over. And in some situations, you can remember the specific moment or situation those words were spoken. But, and so, words can contain all kind of things. They can be critical. They can be biting. They can be condemning. They can be negative words, judging words, words full of fear. How many know that words are containers? Slanderous words. Things spoken that hurt us. Now, as believers, we should be, our words should be what? Full of life. Our words should be full of love, health, encouragement, strength. Our words should be, you know, contain these things. Now, Jesus has some good advice in dealing with others in our words. Over in James chapter 1, we're right there, close there. James chapter 1, verse 19. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. It says this. Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to take offense and get angry. That's just some good, practical, sound advice for you on a daily basis. Everybody say, slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to be angry. Now you've got to watch the whole halt, right? What's halt? Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. You got to be careful of those times. Those are times we say things we don't mean. Those are times other people say things that they don't mean. I mean, when we get angry, I mean, how many here have some words that you said when you're angry, you just couldn't control yourself? Don't raise your hand, but how many had some words this weekend? Some things, some words you wish you could take back. And then your wife or your husband will come and say, you know, because wives, they remember words. And they'll bring up words you said 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, word for word. And I'm like, did you write that down? And they take it like you meant those words. And then you'll say, honey, I didn't really mean that. Right? Words are powerful. And so, here's some things. When you're talking and dealing with people, be quick to listen. Really listen to people. Listen not only to the words, but have the Holy Spirit help you to find out what are they really saying. Be quick to listen to people. And then, slow to speak. Now this is, I don't know, I'm not looking at anybody, but this is a good word. Don't say everything that comes to your mind. Point to your neighbor. No, don't. You need to be slow to speak. Think about what you're about to say. Is this a life-giving words? Are these words going to be a blessing? Or are these words full of venom and poison? quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to be angry, and watch out when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And you know what? A lot of times, it's just best to keep your mouth shut. We ought to put that on a plaque. Put that somewhere. You know, the old saying, I mean, if you don't have something good to say, that's good advice. All right, so we'll move on. You really like that part, so we'll move on here. But James said that no man can tame the tongue, and he's correct about that. No man can tame the tongue, but the Holy Spirit can. Look over in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 5. Man, I'm flying through here today. Romans 5, verse 5, Amplified, says this. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And that's really what happens, is as we open ourselves to God and to the Holy Spirit, and we're baptized and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, He fills us up. He pours out His love in us. It changes us. And then it should start coming out of us. That love that changes us on the inside should start changing our behavior, should start changing what we think about, should start changing what we're saying. Pour it out in our hearts. So it brings about change. And that's why, you know, we talk about God's love and God's goodness and God's grace. And we say, you know, it's the goodness of God that brings man to repentance. We talk about God's love. So we got to let that change our hearts and change our mouth. Now, let's go back a little bit, talk about a little bit about the power of words. You know, and if how many here like to be around someone that's critical? How many here like to be around someone that judges you? Do you have people in your life that you don't want to see? Maybe some family members, other folks. Why is it you don't want to be around them? I would say 9 times out of 10, it's because of what they say. Because when they open their mouths, poison comes out. You ever been around people that everything you say to them, they've got something better? Everything you say, they just kind of top it with something else. Or how about this? You just pour out your heart and you just share about dreams and desires. And what's the first thing they do? They start shooting holes in it. How many love that? And how many love it when people come over to your house and they're sitting at your meal, at your table, and you're providing them a meal, and then they start being critical? I had met somebody the other day. It was the first time I met them, and they just started being negative and critical from the moment I met them. I just asked them, like, how are you doing? And then everything, it just started spewing out. And I'm like thinking, oh my God, what would it be like to live with this person? If this is how they are when I ask them, how are they doing? What's it like to be in the same house? I mean, I just couldn't take it. It wasn't you, Sizzy. It would drive me bananas. On and on and on, just negative. And I understand, for someone that's an unbeliever, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But what excuse do we have as believers? What's going on as a belief? And I know part of it's because we've been hurt. Talked about wounds, talk about people being brokenhearted, all these different things. But we don't even realize. I mean, I think it'd be good to have that words monitor person around you. Wouldn't that be good? Maybe. I mean, wouldn't it be good just to have that person around you? What did you mean by that? Why are you saying that? What? Y'all glad you're here today? But see, the power, how many here, I mean, want to be a life giver? How many here want to be a blessing? I mean, I don't want to use my words to curse people. Think of the damage that has been done in people's lives. And just think about people in authority. Think about pastors. And think about teachers. And how about parents? Or, you know, you've got this young kid that's just, you know, they don't know the things we know. And they're just wide open. And here you are, or a coach. Your words are so powerful. And then, but folks, they don't realize the power of their words. And they start saying things. I mean, never call your child a loser. Never tell your child they're no good. Never tell them that they're worthless. I mean, there is a time, obviously, as a parent, that you correct your child, but you can even correct your child in a positive way. And that they can walk away from the correction feeling good. And see, there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation leaves you without hope. You're no good. You're worthless. You'll never amount to anything. You know, those things you want to do, it's just not going to happen. See, condemnation is, you know, no hope. But conviction doesn't have to be taking a baseball bat and smacking you on the side of the head. That's not conviction. Conviction can be tender, loving, gentle words, but yet they pierce your heart and you say, yeah, I see that. I see where I'm making a mistake. I see that where I'm going the wrong way. But it leaves you with hope and it makes you feel loved. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works. Even in a correction, you'll walk away feeling good and loved and blessed. And so we need to be thinking, what are we saying to our kids? Now, I'm not just saying, you know, make up stuff. I'm not saying be fake. I mean, you've seen that too. I'm not saying that. But surely, with all that we know about the Word, all that we know about God, I mean, God, I mean, this isn't the Bible, but this is my Bible, right? You know, but I mean, He put things down in words. How many times have you gone back? I mean, I do it every day. You go to the Word. Why? Encourage you, strengthen you, impart something to you, guide your steps, give you light, comfort. I mean, He thought so much of words. I mean, He gave us a whole book, thousands and thousands of words, thousands and thousands of promises. I mean, really, do we need all those promises? Yes. He's got comfort and strength and encouragement in every area of our lives. But we're to reflect Jesus. We're to reflect God. And we can just get sloppy. But every day to realize today, I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose my words. I'm going to be a blessing today. I'm not going to curse people. I'm going to be a blessing. Now, there's some great scriptures that will really help us today. Turn over to Ephesians. And I want to read this in several different translations. Because this is what we need to be doing every day here. And this is who we are here at Good News Church. These are the kind of people we are because we're life givers. Our mission here is empowering people to give life. I want you, when you leave here, when you're hanging around at services, when you're talking to people on the phone, when you're on Facebook, email, other kind of things, texting. Do we need to monitor your text messages? Do I need to start monitoring Facebook? Some young people, I mean, they have no filter. They need a filter. And some of the things they're putting on there for the whole world to read, I said, I mean, you must have been hungry, angry, lonely, and tired all at the same time. And sick in your head. All at the same time. Why would you write that? Now, no one here would do that. Because we're all perfect here, right? All right, let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 29. This is what needs to be happening with your mouth, right here. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says this, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Now again, I'm going to read this in several different translations, but this first part out of this translation, I want you to catch hold of that last part, may impart grace to the hearers. Are your words full of grace? Are your words full of mercy? You know, and there's two sides to grace. There is the forgiving side, there is the mercy side, but then there's also that empowering side. So it's not just, you know, forgiveness, it's also building people up. Our words are to be full of grace. Now, it's one thing to be here at church and have gracious words. It's another thing to be at home and have gracious words. Gracious words with your mate. Gracious words with your kids. Gracious words with the person at the grocery store. How about gracious words when you're driving in your car and the guy cuts you off? Brian Lewis. Where's Brian Lewis? Talking to you, Brian. I see you back there. You can't hide from me. All right, let's read it in the New Living Translation. Do you have that, New Living? Let's put that up there. Ephesians 4. Don't use foul or abusive language. Aren't you glad you came to church? Pastor, that's not fair. We just had spring break. Come on, let's just give us something different. I can only give you what he gives me, so sorry. Don't use foul or abusive language. I used to, my brother Pat, I could tell on him because it's not me, but we used to play a lot of golf before we got saved. And Pat could cuss with the best of them. It seemed like every shot, I mean, I don't know, he wasn't a sailor, but I mean, he would just put words together like, I could never put words together like that. So one time, he's in the sand trap and he hits this shot, horrible shot, or maybe he hit in the sand trap and it hit the lip and came back in. And so he just gets mad. He had a temper, man. And so he's just taking his club and just pounding it in the sand. I mean, not just like lightly tapping it. I mean, he is rearing back, hitting that sand. Sand's flying everywhere. He's just cussing. And one of the guys from the course drives by and sees him, you know, in the sand trap doing that. I mean, he's just going on. I mean, he won't stop. He's just, have you ever wanted to do that? And so the guy says, "What are you doing?" I mean, just yelling at him. "What are you doing?" And then he just as calmly and just as quickly as any kind of answer, he says, "What the hell does it look like I'm doing?" Edit that from the tape. But I mean, it was just coming out of him, in the abundance of his heart. I mean, it was just all in there. He was full of foul and abusive language. He's better now today, if you're around him. Although you still don't want to make him mad. I watch my words around him. Don't use foul or abusive language. But let everything, you can learn a lot about people by playing golf with them. Okay, go ahead. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be encouragement to those who hear them. Now, on this part, besides the foul and abusive language, let's look at that last part about encouragement. The New King James said grace, but that's a good thing. But there's a different aspect of grace is encouragement. How many people get encouragement? How much encouragement, Frank, you don't have to answer any of these questions, but how much encouragement do you get in the military? I mean, do you got these leaders are just coming up to you and, I mean, and just talking to you saying, oh, Frank, I mean, you are amazing. You're so faithful. You're such a hard worker. I mean, I just enjoy being around you, your personality. I mean, how often does that happen? One in a million. I mean, we could just have some encouragement services. We'd probably fill the building. Don't have any praise and worship and any messages. And then just pair up in twos and threes and just encourage each other. What does encouragement do? Encourage. It brings strength. It brings up courage. See, that's the power of our words. And we don't realize how powerful our words are. And then we look at people and we think, well, they don't need it. I need it. But we, you know, Susie was just talking about giving and sowing seed. And, you know, you have to learn that if you want to get encouragement, you need to sow encouragement. Now, I know some people are more gifted at it than others. And again, I'm not saying to make up things. But if we would listen to the Holy Spirit and follow Him, He'll show us what to say. And talk about speaking life. I mean, how many people do we come across on a daily basis that are down, they're hurting, going through things, and we have life. We're full of life. We're full of God's love. It's tough out there. It's a tough world. But encouragement, when you say something encouraging, man, it just stands out. People will say things to me that I said years ago. I've forgotten what I said, and they haven't forgotten it. Because those words contain courage. They contain strength. They contained love. They contained care and concern. And at that moment, and again, everything doesn't work that way, but sometimes it's just like it just goes right into them. And it brings about change. It impacts them. Now let's read this from the Amplified. Ephesians 4:29, Amplified. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk. We got any worthless talk out there? Ever. Everybody say ever.
Ever.
Ever come out of your mouth, but only such, I think it's going to be a quiet day today. A lot of us are going to be quiet today. But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor to those who hear it. Now, this part in this scripture, I want to emphasize good and beneficial to the spiritual progress. Speaking words of life, helping people grow, speaking the truth in love, talking about the word, blessing people, strengthening people. Now let's look at one more scripture here. Might get out early today. Maybe not, but maybe. I'm trying to give you a little hope, a little encouragement. Get me out of this message. I can't stand this message. Colossians. I just heard that in my inside here. Colossians 4:6. Oh, this is good. New King James says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Seasoned with salt, that our words can bring out the best flavor in folks. Always be with grace, gracious words. Now let me read this from the Message translation. It says this: be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down, not cut them out. Now, I'm not saying to do this with everybody, but I hope we have some relationships in here that if someone were putting you down or saying something that we could, you know, if Rick did that, and Rick never has, but where we could say something to each other and say, "Hey, Rick, that hurts." And knowing Rick, he'd probably appreciate that because he would never intend to hurt anybody. But how many know things we say? It'd be good for mates or for kids or for families to say, you know, if those kind of things happen, someone's going to stand up and say, "Hey, what's going on here? I thought we're speaking gracious words, kind words, loving words." And, you know, I think about our kids. Our kids are just, I mean, we're stewards of these kids. What we say to them, we got to be quick to listen. And we got to be slow to speak. And we got to be slow to be angry. You know, the difficult thing with kids for me is when you see in them your weaknesses. And what you do then is you overcompensate with your words to try to beat that out of them, so to speak. And that's not the way to handle that.
Harry, come up here, man. I just want to show, I just feel really strongly about when it comes to our kids, because I think for all of us, probably the most damaging words ever spoken to us were probably by a parent. Harry's our son here, and contrary to Harry's belief, no, sometimes he goofs up. Y'all ever goof up? Your kids ever goof up? But if he goofs up, what most human reaction is to a kid goofing up is to say, maybe use some of Pat's favorite words, and then to condemn. "I can't believe you did that." And then some of you have had words spoken over you that go beyond, that really damn you. You talk about damning words, what some parents have said to kids, maybe what you've said to yours sometimes, damning words. But when, and I'm just so thankful that the Holy Spirit taught us this years ago, if Harry goofs up, the way to correct Harry is this. Separate Harry from what he's done and his behavior. And say, "Harry, that behavior is not who you are." So you can condemn behavior, something that happened, without condemning him at all. "Harry, that you did here, that's not even you. That's not who God's made you to be. It's not who he's called you to be. That's not your future." Instead of condemning him, you can condemn the behavior. And at the same time you're condemning the behavior, you can build him up by reminding him God's purpose. God's got a great plan for you. God's got a future for you. He's gifted you. He has a marvelous purpose, an end for you, and that is not part of it. And then there is a really important part of listening. How did you get entangled with that? What about that was so enticing? Because you talk about encouraging, giving someone courage. Kids need courage to walk away from that. Who better to give them courage than you? You're their parent. So I can give him courage to walk away from that. I can give him courage, though everybody he knows and, you know, wants to be friends with or wants to, doesn't really apply, but for, you know, that typically a kid would want his peers so much their approval. It's a parent who says, look, you don't have to condemn their friends, but you can condemn the behavior and say, you know, that's not taking them to where they want to go either. And I can't control what they do. I'm not their mama. I'm your mama. And I know this. God's got an awesome plan for you. And that is not going to take you where you want to go. And sometimes you have to step between them and the behavior and say, I'm not going to let you do that. And that's where you find ways to, if you got a kid and you find him or her involved in sexual sin, whether it's pornography or sexting or they're, you know, involving themselves in it physically, whatever it is, you got to get between them and that behavior, whatever way you can. You got to throw yourself between them and that, no matter what it takes. You got to stop it. But you don't have to condemn them in doing it. You can make them feel extremely valued and encouraged and loved in correcting behavior, in correcting what they're doing by saying that the reason I don't want you, and it's the same thing God says to us, the wages of sin is death, and I don't want you dying. That will kill you, son. That will kill your future. That will kill God's purpose and plan for you. It'll kill you emotionally. It'll break your heart. It'll hurt you. It'll bring calamity on you. I don't want you in that. And so I'm stepping between you and that. And because you're having trouble with that, then give me your phone. You just lost your internet privileges. You're going to be with me. I mean, I'm just telling you from my perspective as a parent, if I have to tie them to me, they will be tied to me. If that's what it takes to keep them from that. I mean, whatever it takes to keep them from sin and death, I'll keep them from it. As long as I'm in that place. Now, I have two that are older and married, and I can't do that as well. But I spent my time when they were younger throwing myself between them and in the sin, but not condemning them with it. See, that's what we did. Go down there, Harry. See, this is typical parenting, is we condemn them down in it. But what we have to do is pull them up with us. This is our identity. This is who we are. You are not that sin. That is not even who you are. And so you can condemn the sin, the behavior, whatever it is, but you can in the same time lift them up above it. And isn't that what we need to do, is be lifted up above the sin, up above whatever it is? We need somebody to lift us up. So when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he came and lifted us up. Well, and when we find our kids in behavior, they're, so to speak, down, even though they're not, but their behavior is dead and their trespasses and sins. We got to lift them up from it. And our words can make all the difference. Our words can lift them up, or our words can push them down further into it. And some of you in here, I'm not going to ask you to testify, but some of you in here were in places in your life where you could have been saved from a lot of heartache, but somebody really important in your life damned you in it. And it caused you to go off further into something. You were there, and instead of lifting you up, which they could have, and frankly, they probably didn't know, their daddy damned them and where they were. But instead of lifting them up, they put them down. Kids are born and they have their own minds and they make their own choices and they go their own ways. But every one of us as a parent, every one of us that are parents, and even if you aren't a parent, even if you're a grandparent or an uncle or an aunt or just someone who sees a kid in need, you can make all the difference in the world by what you say. And you can build them from the inside. You can build them up and lift them up out of where they are. Or you can damn them to it and then wonder all your life, God, why'd you let my kids turn out like this? When he gave you a book full, we just read a whole bunch of scriptures, a book full of words of wisdom of how what we should be doing and saying. And the same thing with husbands and wives. The same thing with friends. Same thing with family members. Employers and employees, the same thing. You may be a bully on your job. You may be... Here, you can sit down. You may be a bully in your life with your words. And I think the greatest bullies we find are people with their words. All right, man, I'm sorry for taking over your message.
That was great. That was good. That was worth it all right there. So what we're going to do right now is an altar call for your mouth. So all the mouths that need to repent, just get up out of your seat and come on down here. Your mouth needs to get saved. So if you want to get your mouth saved, say this with me. Say, Father in heaven, I acknowledge that I cannot tame my tongue on my own. I need your help. Therefore, today, I choose to submit my tongue and my mouth to the Lordship of Jesus. I boldly declare my tongue is subdued, tamed, and brought under control by the Holy Spirit. My lips speak words of kindness. My mouth brings forth praise. My words are words of encouragement, comfort, and strength. I speak life today and every day. Amen.